Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Championship Wrestling, promoted by Phil Zatko, supervised by the State Athletic Commission, the Honorable J.J. Binns, Chairman, Francis Walker is the Executive Secretary, and the officials assigned, Chief Deputy Commissioners in charge, Tom Malandro, the doctor in attendance at ringside, Dr. George Saharian, the timekeeper at the bell, Charlie Daniels, and the referees for this hour of wrestling, Danny Davis, Dick Worley, Billy Caputo, and my name is Jerry Hill.
Here's a lesson about the history of professional wrestling, which I want to use as a foundation for today. Up until the, let's say, mid-1980s, pro wrestling promotions were assigned specific territories where they could run their shows. These territories ranged from several states to a single state, part of a state. Now, while you could send your TV show out to wherever you wanted, you could only run shows in your assigned territory. This territory system was created by and overseen by the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA. I use this as a reference. Bring some questions to you. The Bible makes it very clear that Satan has the rule of the earth. We learn this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you hear anything in those words that limits Satan? Does it say that Satan only prowls 4 days a week, only after sunset? Does it tell where Satan isn't allowed to go? No. But a more important question for you is this. Think of Satan as being like a wrestling TV show back in the territory days. He can go anywhere. But how big of a territory in your life do you allow Satan to have? Before you answer, there's a separation I have to make here. There are times when God will allow Satan to take a run at you. Most well-known example of this is found in the book of Job, when God allows Satan to take a shot in bringing down Job's faith. In Job chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, we read about the agreement that Satan reached with God. Satan speaking, "Have you not made a hedge around him," meaning Job, "around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." God allows these times to happen to test us, as well as to strengthen us. Our instructions for these times are given to us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." Now, getting back to the question about how much territory in your life you give Satan, are you aware of what awards him that territory and how fast it can expand? All right. Do you have a habit or commit an act that you think is really no big deal? It's a little sin that won't amount to anything major. Well, here's how Jesus sees things in John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly," when Jesus says assuredly, you are listening, "most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Living in and for the world," which, as we said, Satan has domain over, "versus living for God and his word will quickly expand the territory you give to Satan in your life. When we look to be liked by the world more than reaching for the love of God, we open up ourselves to what we read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." How often do you get angry? Oh, you might think it's just a part of being human, but the words that we read in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, they reveal something very different. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Are you seen as a joyful person with God's light shining through you? Or do you just sulk, mope around, separate yourself from people? 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 teaches how that becomes a welcome mat for Satan. If we say that we have fellowship with him, meaning God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Have you ever listened to yourself? Are you speaking in a way others want to welcome, a way that's godly? Or do you possess the mouth Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. How easily are you tempted? You might promise God that you'll resist, and, well, time after time you fail and give Satan more territory in your life. Why is this? Your failure to repent is created by your failure to live by the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God has made a promise to us. He will be with us as long as we let him in. Doesn't matter how troubled you are, the psalmist in Psalm chapter 119, verse 50, declares this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Now take a few moments when you can to read the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Learn about those who received, well, not just God's promise, but an added blessing that's revealed in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. Let's end with another pro wrestling analogy. The finish of the match has already been determined for those in God's word as they endure the works of Satan in this world. Our win is foretold and promised to us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?